today, we cross live to Moscow for the latest on the Russian election campaign. And I think it's getting serious, people, because I've seen footage of both leading candidates doing the hokey pokey. Also today, Adelaide man John Johansson's plan to circumnavigate the globe in something he's knocked up in the backyard. Mick demonstrates his miracle memory powers and the Japanese space program. Will it be as successful as the European and Chinese space programs? Let's hope so. As always, we'll play Radio Gladiators, Beat the Beasley, we've got the latest on the status quo trial, and popping in for a bit of harmless chit-chat, that's all it is, it's Judith Lucy. Yes, it's all coming up on the program that's been confirmed as the source of that salmonella outbreak, Martin Molloy. John Farnham declaring open the midweek edition of Martin Molloy right around Australia, even up at the pointy bit. Right up where the Big Brown Nation decides to call it quits at the top there. I think, are we going to Darwin yet?
Yeah, very shortly, I believe.
Is that coming on board soon, Gracie? All right, I'm sure
they're... I think that's how they're going to employ the euthanasia laws. They just play a couple of hours of Martin Molloy every so often and people just top themselves.
They just let them have a listen to some Beat the Beasley. But who's in today? I think you've guessed by now. It's Tony Martin, that's me, and this bloke here, Boris Yeltsin's choreographer, Mick Molloy.
He keeps me busy.
He does. And let's talk about
the
Russians.
Have you seen him in a pair of those leg warmers?
No. It's getting serious, though, isn't it, the campaign? Because you've got, on one side, you've got Yeltsin and Alexander Lebed. And believe it or not, they're the Russian youth ticket. I don't know if you realise that. And then, of course, you've got the communists who are really into outdoor fitness type activities, as far as I can tell. It's going to be an abseiling and canoeing-led recovery if they're anything to go by. But I tell you what, enough of our ill-informed comments on the Russian elections. Let's go over to somebody who knows what they're talking about. This report from the BBC.
On the eve of round two of the Russian presidential elections, Boris Yeltsin looked decidedly shaky as he addressed the nation on live television.
You're on.
Greetings, people of Russia. Man, am I shit-faced? Something about status quo.
Billy, Hungerst of Melrose.
God, it's happening again. Quick, get in there. Turn it on.
Meanwhile, communist leader Gennady Zyuganov appeared at a local gymnasium. Yeltsin's right-hand man, Alexander Lebed, appeared on television for nearly 25 minutes before somebody realised it was in fact a life-size colour photograph. Said one observer, I thought he looked a bit more animated than usual.
It's super cheap, but...
Back at Studio 3, Yeltsin continued his address.
I feel like chicken tonight. Like chicken tonight.
Quick, bring it up to 11!
Back on the communist campaign trail, Gennady Zyuganov demonstrates his commitment to reform by taking time out for some whitewater rafting. Live television, ultra-nationalist Vladimir Zhirinovsky made this brief statement. Mr. Yeltsin's address, meanwhile, entered its historic second minute.
Does it sound like I'm talking backwards? In fact, all Russian does to me. Where am I? Who are you people? G-O-G-G-O.
In an attempt to highlight what he sees as the Yeltsin government's failure to successfully manage the economy, communist leader Zyuganov wrestles a large python and attempts to swim to Greenland. And finally, Boris Yeltsin makes one final all-out attempt to convince Russians of his superiority.
I, and only I, have what it takes to lead this great nation into the next century. Allow me to demonstrate.
Yeltsin
focusing on being loved here at Martin Molloy. Mickey, let's find out what's going on up in the friendly skies.
Have a listen to this tone. Solo pilot John Johansson has become the first person to cross the Indian Ocean east to west flying a homemade aircraft.
Is that true?
Yeah, this was announced after he landed safely in Durban, South Africa. Johansson, who hails from Adelaide, left Melbourne 11 days ago on a record-setting bid to circle the globe for a second time.
Right.
That's an interesting idea, isn't it, Tane? Sitting at home and in your spare time, knocking yourself up a U-Butte flying machine. Initially, he probably just intended to enter a Birdman rally, but, well, once he had all those empty cereal boxes strapped to his arms, thought, bugger this! If I get my hands on another roll of sticky tape in the weekend newspapers, I reckon the old girl might just get me right round the world! Hey! And those toilet rolls over there could just be that high-tech navigation system I've been looking for. What's he thinking? Was he just sitting at home one arvo watching the Curiosity Show or something and thought, wow, that's amazing how they got that egg inside that milk bottle. Hey, maybe I could harness that same technology and build a plane.
Yeah.
There's a bloke who's been spending too much time in the shed, Tone.
Yeah.
There's a bloke who's spending all his spare time down the back shed working on his own spruce goose.
Mm-hmm.
Wait till he gets involved in the space program. He won't come out of there for months.
I'm smelling Tonya Todman's involvement somehow.
Tonya Todman, she knitted one.
Did she?
She knitted a plane which she flew around the world.
She knitted her way to Durban.
There you go. Nothing, Tone, nothing would get thrown out in that house, would it? Aircraft pass would be transferred straight from the fridge to the flight deck. Has anyone seen that margarine container? Darling, how many times do I have to tell you? It's not a margarine container, it's an altimeter. Oh, and when you're done there sweeping that patio, I want the propeller back. Nothing to get wasted in that house, Tone. Today's empty yogurt tub is tomorrow's black box recorder round at the Johansons. What would happen if the plane did crash? He'd probably be charged with littering. The cops would be there going, right, I want you to pick that plane up, son, and put it in the bin and separate the recyclables while you're at it. I don't want this to sound like I'm bagging the bloke, does it?
No.
I was hoping it wouldn't. I mean, he's knocked up a plane in his spare time using parts that he usually left out on bin night. And then good on him for that. It's just that I can't see it catching on.
Mm.
It's not like an airline. We'll be voted the world's best after unveiling their new Airbus made entirely out of egg cartons. And I can't see the defence forces falling all over each other to secure the surfaces of an aeroplane whose weight doubles every time it's raining. And I'm sorry, but the most time-honoured tradition in aviation is the kiddie's request to see the cockpit.
Yes.
And quite frankly, opening the door to reveal a bloke sitting on a milk crate pushing a couple of shoe boxes attached to his feet while steering with the lid of an old pizza box just ain't going to inspire nobody.
Yes, all right. We'll tell you what the X-rays say when we get them back. That's Ulan, and this is Martin Molloy Morissette.
Hi, I'm Dick Cavett, and you know, I've never been good at memory, at remembering things, at recalling important facts instantly. But as you've just heard, I'm very good at saying the same thing in three completely different ways, using three entirely dissimilar techniques, or, if you will, a trio of disparate methods. Nonetheless, all the same, I, like thousands of others, have had my powers of recall substantially increased, having met the world's foremost authority on photographic recall, Mick Molloy.
Mick Molloy is undoubtedly the world's foremost authority on photographic recall. I'm sorry, did you just say that?
Yes, I did, but it's an infomercial. It's important that we say the same thing over and over again as often as possible, continually.
What? Repeating the same information?
Sure. Re-emphasizing the same facts again and again.
Ad nauseum.
Over and over. And now let's meet the man.
Ad infinitum.
No, that's one too many.
I've gone too far.
You've exceeded the bounds of...
Hey, you two, over here.
I'm sorry, Mick. Now, your instant recall technique, can you give us a demonstration?
Yep, throw a list of words at me.
Any words at all, and you'll recall them instantly in a completely different order.
Yep.
Okay, here we go. Saxophone, swimming pool, fountain pen, necessarily, the color green, light fitting, suitcase, exercise, the number 324-66-999-81545.
Hang on. 5, 4, five there.
Hold on, you're writing them down.
Yeah, how else do you expect me to read them back to you?
So basically, your miracle technique consists of writing things down.
Got it in one.
That's astonishing. And you're saying this is a technique anyone can use for, say, business or learning a foreign language.
Sure.
What about someone like myself who doesn't always have a pen and paper with them?
Well, you're buggered.
Although, I suppose I could phone a friend and get them to write it down.
Whatever.
You know, Mick, it's such a simple technique that I really do feel an extraordinary sexual attraction to you.
Just plug the deal, mate.
No, I feel I should persist with this. How would you feel about jumping into bed and making violent, passionate love to me?
Dick, here's a list of words for you. Out, ass, it. Your blow.
Hold on, I'll have to get a pen. But in the meantime, here's the number to call.
If you'd like to learn the Mick Molloy instant recall technique, just send no more than $49.95 every 25 minutes to Yes, I'd Like a Free Pen at this address. Or simply call 324-66-999-81545. Wow, it really works.
Well, Mick, I must thank you for coming in today, and obviously, if you'd like to sleep with me...
Oh, yeah.
Well, I won't forget that in a hurry.
So, that's OMC here at Martin Molloy in the next hour. Judith Lucy's going to be joining us
on
the panel, and I'm sure she'll have a few straight answers for us.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't hold anything back, our Jude.
No, that's what I look forward to every week when she visits.
She'll be unloading in the next hour. We'll also be attempting once again to beat the Beasley.
Oi.
Yesterday, what happened? We had a giant effigy of the Federal Opposition leader. I think it was made from inaccurate biographies of Brett Whiteley.
Correct.
And our contestant failed to stop it from falling onto the lovable talking piglet babe.
There's a sorry sight.
Can we match it today?
Oh, I'm sure we'll be up to something. Don't want to give away any clues at this point.
I've seen John Howard lurking about the
studio. Hang on a second.
He hasn't got any protective clothing on either, so we'll see what happens.
All right.
And Radio Gladiator's coming up too, but Mick, have you got more aviation?
No, I'm sorry, Tone, I do.
What's
today?
What's going on?
I'm our aviation connection today.
Has Pamela Anderson done nothing in the last 24 hours? Hasn't Jason Donovan gone home?
Well, if they'd got on a plane, I'd be right into them.
All right, what's happening?
Well, listen to this. The Japanese are using the Australian Outback to enter the space race and trial the first Japanese shuttle.
Really?
Strong winds, however, have prevented a prototype of Japan's pilotless space shuttle from being tested yet again today at the Woomera Rocket Range in South Australia. Now, that shuttle must be weak as piss, because that bloke, he made a plane in his backyard. He comes from Adelaide. He managed to get it off the ground.
Exactly.
What are the Japanese up to? They're frigging around in the South Australian desert. Oh, no, not today. Looks a bit fresh.
I don't know, but I saw them just before takeoff open the hatch and throwing out jars of peanut butter. David Dick style.
As you would. As you would. Jettisoning, I think, is the aviation term.
Oh, is it really?
Yes, there you go. See, well, I am the official correspondent.
And he's dressed like the captain of the Love Boat.
Oh, now you're giving too much away. Now, Tane, I think the decision to go... I told you it was pilotless, didn't I?
Yeah, pilotless.
I think the decision to go sans pilot was made after the first few pilots they employed deliberately stacked them. And, well, you know, there's just no call for your kamikaze shuttle pilot at this point.
Oh, I see.
In the space race, you know, I wouldn't have thought. A Japanese space shuttle, Tane, how would that be different? More economical? Not as much leg room? Surely you'd have less chance of picking up chicks in a Japanese shuttle than you would in one of those big American yank tanks. Chicks love them, Tane.
Oh, do they go, eh?
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Get yourself an American shuttle.
That's my advice to you. I've actually seen the prototype, Tane, and well, how would I describe it? It's like a Nissan Prairie with a couple of wings whacked on the side.
No, it is.
Seriously, I saw it and I thought it was a Nissan Prairie that, well, was about to enter a Birdman rally because it had the same look. That's all I can tell you, though, because they're being very secretive about it. I couldn't see much beyond that. They wouldn't let me pass the front gate, which just had a huge sign on it saying, no entry, Japanese shuttle testing. Then underneath, in smaller letters, it just said, please consider.
Stranger human oddities than we dare present in this show.
Brought to you by absolutely nobody.
Welcome back to Martin Molloy and Mickey. Are you ready to rock?
Yes!
It's time for a special musical edition of
Have you been following the status quo trial over there in London?
What do you mean, the status quo trial? I haven't, and I'm thinking, what are the charges? That could be anything.
Well, it hasn't even got to court, but it's still being described as the quo trial. Listen to this. Francis Rossi and Rick Parfitt, the old firm at the wheel of status quo, the British band who are this year celebrating their 30th anniversary, have lost their bid to force Britain's biggest radio station to play their music. Now, for any youngsters not familiar with the quo sound, here's a sample. Yep, that's how it goes. Oh, yep.
I got the message.
I think there's a chord change coming up. Here we go.
This is my favourite bit.
That's what we're waiting for. That's enough quo, I think. We're making people sick. But anyway, this case has been in the news for nearly a year now. BBC Radio 1 say status quo are unfashionable, they're out of date, and basically they're rubbish, and we don't want a bar of them. Now, quo have arced up and said, right, see you in court. But it hasn't even got that far, because High Court Judge Justice Collins has sided with the radio station, saying, yes, quo are rubbish, the BBC don't have to like them, and the case would be an utterly pointless waste of time. Parfitt and Rossi weren't just representing themselves in this case, they were also going into bat for several other artists who have been banned from the Beeb for being unfashionable, including Rod Stewart, Barry Manilow and Sir Cliff Richard. Now, Justice Collins has personally described status quo as old hat. Now,
old hat come from an 80-year-old bloke sitting there wearing a wig.
Go on, your old hat.
Well, that would be hard to take.
When you're in a rock band and you've been described as old hat by a beak from the High Court in Britain,
you're in trouble.
Oh, I think it's time to maybe give the game away. But anyway, we thought that was as good a cue as any to do one of our old favourites. We want to hear the daggiest record in your house, the daggiest record in your collection. We want you to call us up and play a bit. And as always, we're going to provide a few examples, because guess what I've done, Mickey?
What have you done now?
I've raided my dad's milk crate.
Oh, you're an adventurer.
He doesn't listen to this show, so he'll probably never find out, but I've brought in some of his own personal selections. Now, here's one you'll often hear when you show up at my dad's place. You just open the door and you'll immediately cop a bit of this.
Is he whistling along?
He does the whistling himself, and it's, of course, Gilbert O'Sullivan. Is there a chorus imminent? The moment I met you, I swear. That's Claire. And, you know, my mum loves that, because, of course, her name just happens to be Jeanette. So she finds that fantastic. Now, he's not only into the old Gilbert O'Sullivan.
Taking that off, Gracie. Taking that off.
We'll play the rest of it before the show's through. He's also into what would be called supergroups, your pomp rock of the 70s and 80s.
And who would that be? That'd be
Asia?
Journey?
Styx? Lady, when
you're with me, I'm smiling. Oh, that's enough. Have you ever walked into the lounge room and caught your old man just lip syncing along?
Oh, yeah.
Playing a bit of air guitar.
And playing a bit. Well, usually you're trying to copy the cover of Hot August Night. I don't know what it is that Neil Diamond's doing on that, but he does a bit of that. But it's not just, your rock and roll standards. Mm-hmm. He's also into your kind of sexy romantic music. Jump in my car. That's one of his favourites. And as he likes to point out, he's not out of date. He's not just into the old stuff from the 70s and 80s. He's into the now sound. He's into what the kids are listening to today. And he'll often dress up like Vanilla Ice, and it's a fantastic sight to behold. So, there you go. There's a few from our end.
I think you pointed us in the right direction, Tim. Thank you.
We want people to call up, but we don't want you to start from the beginning. We want you to go straight to the good bit.
We want the good bit.
Cue up the record of the good bit. We don't want to sit through 30 seconds of, Phil Collins.
And you've got to play him to us down the line, so, when we're talking to you, don't go, okay, I'll just go and find it and put it on. See if you can have it ready.
You've got to dig it out, and do we have a prize? And
not.
Another one of my dad's favourites.
Yeah, you're still ferreting around at the bottom of that milk crate.
Guess what you'll get? You'll get yourself tickets for two to see John Farnham live in concert, and you'll be wearing a Martin Malloy T-shirt. That's the downside, I'm afraid. And you'll go into the drawer for when this Friday Pete Smith will reach into the massive... Is that... Can we answer that?
I'll get it.
Part of the song, is it? I'm never sure.
Hello, Jake. Record.
Not yet. Don't call yet, people. I haven't given the number. Now, we want you to be listening Friday if you're a winner, because Pete Smith will be sending a couple of people to the fabulous four-star Port Douglas Treetops, flying Ansett Airlines and staying seven nights. And that's thanks to not only the Port Douglas Treetops, but our very good friend, Dougie T. Douglas Treetops himself is...
he had a band. Didn't he back in the 70s?
The Douglas Treetops Project, I believe. And we'll be playing some of them later. Now's your chance, people. Call us up. Play us a bit of the daggiest record that you've got round at your joint. 1-800-657-657. That's Just a Girl from No Doubt here at Martin Malloy.
See, we're doing our bit. We're right. Pulling the daggiest ones out of our collection.
Oh, dear.
We expect the same from you.
Before this segment's over, Dan from the music department's going to be banging on the window.
Leave me alone, guys. I'm just doing my job.
But this is Martin Malloy. This is Radio Gladiators. And today, because there's a lot of talk in the news about what we're calling Quogate, status quo, taking a radio station to court for saying their music was too daggy to play. We want to know what you've got at your place that's too daggy to play on the radio, and we're going to play a bit of it on the radio, down the phone. Who have we got first?
Well, helping to get the ball rolling today, Tone, is Lisa. Hello, Lisa.
Hello, how are you guys?
Not too bad. What you got for us?
I've got Engelbert Humperdinck, A Man Without Love.
Oh. I believe we're away, Tone.
Do you want to hear it?
Would you all put it on for us now?
Okay. Here we go.
Take it away, Lisa and Engelbert. Without a ludicrous name.
Engelbert. There's only one.
And is that your own copy, Lisa?
It was. It was my first record my mum ever bought me.
Oh,
yeah. How embarrassing.
And did you ever buy a second?
No.
Or was that it for you?
That did it.
All right. Well, you're in the lead so far, as we like to say on Gladiators. Thanks, Lisa. Now we'll talk to Daniel. What are you sitting on, Dan?
Oh, what aren't I sitting on? I'm just going through my parents' record collection.
Are they out of the house at the moment?
They are. Surprise, surprise.
And what do you come across?
Well, in my own, I've got a treasure, Cats.
Oh, they're the soundtrack from Cats.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll play a bit of that down the phone.
Okay, just a sec.
Here we go. No one mother and a
dream. So sad.
I can't hear what you're saying, sorry.
Probably a good thing.
Well, I've also got Tina Turner, Ms. Showbiz.
Oh, no, I think Cats is quite enough.
You've done more than enough, thank you, Daniel.
Even Highland Fling.
No, we'll stop with Andrew Lloyd Webber's work. And Daniel, do the parents like to put it on and mime a bit of a duet from time to time?
They dance around the living room to it, actually.
Do they put the tails on?
Yeah.
That's very important, I find.
Have they got Tony Barber's version, but?
Oh, I think we do somewhere.
Oh, well, you have a look for that, Daniel. And in the meantime, I think we'll talk to Debbie. Are you there, Debbie?
I'm here.
What have you got for us?
Well, I did have I've Got a Lovely Bunch of Coconuts, but the record's a little bit too old.
Oh, yeah.
But I've got Connie Francis for you. Cupid.
Okay. Of course. We're not really familiar with the work of Connie, but let's hear a bit of what is known as Stupid Cupid.
Okay.
Then. Here we go.
Stupid Cupid,
you're
a real mean guy.
Yes, indeed. Nicely done, Debbie. I love any song that combines romance and archery myself.
Stupid Cupid.
The scary part is, was that was once a hit.
Oh, it was indeed. And how old's the copy? Has it got your name written on in ballpoint on the label there, Debbie?
Yeah, just really little.
Oh, yeah.
You know, round the little hole in the middle.
You know, it's a special record when you've actually dymo-taped your name on it, I find. Okay, thanks, Debbie. And now we'll talk to Natalie. What do you got for us, Natalie?
I've got Trumpet a Go-Go.
Have you? Who's that by?
It's by the James Last Band.
Oh, of course. Okay, is there any doubt? Let's hear it.
I hope she's got the right speed.
Shitty ass of go-go.
Yep. Poor man's Tijuana brass.
Yeah. Sorry. He's no herp out, but all right. Thanks, Natalie. Now we've got Rod. Rod, what have you fished out of the record collection for us? Hey, Rod,
This actually happens to be JVC World Sound Series Songs of the Andes Part 1.
Yes.
By Antonio Pantoja.
Oh, yeah, well. And can you fire it up for us?
We'll give you a verse right now. Here we go.
There's a ship arriving in port, I think. He's one of those guys from the footy with one of his trumpets.
And that's just the beginning.
That's just the beginning, and it's downhill from there, is it, Rod?
Oh, it's a crime against humanity, this CD.
Well, you don't have to wear headphones in your job, so thank yourself there,
Is that one of those mood-relaxing tapes? When you get home after a hard day and you want to unwind and kind of reach a meditative state, put that on?
Well, I'd love to hear it backwards, but we don't really have time. Mm. Thanks, Rod. And now we're talking to Brian. Brian, what are you sitting on?
Hello.
What do you got for us, Brian?
Yeah, no worries, mate. I'm ready to rock and roll. Do you want to shoot?
Yeah, take it away. Just surprise us with it.
Okay, here I go, mate.
It's going to be good. Here it comes. This is Justice Collins of the British High Court saying, stop playing that record.
Call it off.
Hey, Brian.
He's dancing around his lounge room. Totally oblivious. I reckon he's in the sailor suit.
I think he probably is. Are you there, Brian?
Hello.
That's nicely done. Sailor with glass of champagne.
That's the one, yep.
You've more than pulled your weight.
And most people would have gone for girls, girls, girls. But you've thought about it and gone for a glass of champagne. That's a touch of class in my book. Have we got time for one more?
Go on, do it, Tone. I think it's David. Are you there, Dave?
Oh, I certainly am, boys. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Well, it's been chock-a-block. You can boot this home. What you got for us?
I've got a bit of a little record that my parents bought for me when I was about two, and it's been sitting in the collection there just collecting dust. I never thought it'd be good for anything.
And what is it?
It's a personalised birthday record.
Oh, right. Now, it is an actual record on vinyl.
Oh, it's on vinyl. It's a very small one.
Okay, we can accept that, and it's been made specially for you. By your parents.
Well, not by my parents. It was bought by my parents.
Okay.
Given to me. I'll give it a burl and let you make up your own mind.
Fire it up.
Okay, take it away, David.
Here we go. A bit crackly, hang on.
Hi, David. This is a record that we've made especially for you. In the songs on this record, you will hear your name. And that's because this record was made for you alone. We know a boy called David, and we like him so. We've come to visit David, so we can say hello.
Yes, I think we have a winner.
So we go to David.
No, that was quite appropriate. All right, David, you've won against a pretty tough field today.
Woohoo!
And I bet you never thought that record was going to come in useful again.
Oh, Christ, no.
And what I love is it's so crackly, it actually sounds like you're putting it on a log fire while you're playing. So thanks for that. And you've got yourself tickets to see John Farnham, you've got the Martin Malloy T-shirt, and you've gone into the draw for the trip to the fabulous four-star Port Douglas Treetops, which Pete Smith will be personally drawing the winner of this Friday.
Fantastic. Thanks, boys.
Thanks. David. Playing Radio Gladiators. Thanks to everybody who went to an extra bit of trouble to help us out today on the segment. And we'll be back in the next hour with Judith Lucy.
This is Martin Malloy, brought to you by Absolutely Nobody. FM.
And in this hour of Martin Malloy, our very own Olympic demonstration sport, Beat the Beasley, all thanks to the good folk at Sanyo. We'll continue our top shelf coverage of Wimbledon 96. And next up, our very own Dr. Feelgood, Judith Lucy. Feels according to Tina Arena here at Martin Malloy. It's the second hour and time to welcome a woman who, well, she's so desperate for attention. She often just throws on a red wig and fronts up at shopping centres going, "Look, everyone, it's me off the X-Files. Please, please, one at a time, Judith Lucy."
Prefer the Dr. Feelgood introduction.
We're clawing around for intros for you.
I think, you know, you've covered just about every base, really.
Well, what have you got for us? What's been happening since last we spoke to you?
I've moved.
Have you?
I have moved. Mm. And
was that your decision, or is this part of that police witness protection scheme thingy they've got organised?
Well, it kind of wasn't my choice because they sold my flat, but I don't know if you remember, I am particularly skilled at moving. I think I may have discussed one of my previous moves where my housemate and I made the decision to lock ourselves out of the house the night before we had to move. I decided rather sensibly to drink myself to sleep at a friend's house.
Yeah.
But my housemate went for the much more comfortable alternative of sleeping face down in the dirt of our back garden. She then eventually let herself, and you know me, it's a true story, she then eventually let herself into the house by smashing the glass in our front door because she thought she could explain to the real estate agent that we'd been broken into. They didn't actually go for that explanation. I eventually came home, thought, look, moving is so relaxing that I may as well just throw up all day as well. And then did the very wise thing of putting all my garbage in one garbage bag and all my clothes in a garbage bag and going, bugger it, I'll leave the clothes and I'll take the garbage. Because really, who wants to slip into a pair of underpants when you can just pop on an old milk carton? Who needs a bra when you can just whack on a couple of old Big Mac containers? I'll tell you, Tanya Tobman's got nothing on me.
And if you are going out, Jude, that actual garbage bag itself can look quite fetching after dark. Yes.
Well, you know what's really tragic, Mick, is that when I was a child and our family used to go to the football, my mother did in fact make me wear a green garbage bag instead of a raincoat. But that's a whole other one-woman show.
Well, you might be laughing, Jude, but I've seen Jason Donovan wearing exactly that in one of the fashion mags recently.
Hosting Mr. Gay UK, I believe.
In something that Mrs. Lucy had run up for him.
On something you'd put out on bin night.
Well, Mum, she gets around, God love her. So, yes, I'm moving out of my flat. Well, I have moved out of my flat, which is good because I've actually gotten quite jealous of my next-door neighbour, who's an elderly woman who's actually very nice. Not the one I have spoken about before who called me an animal, but another elderly woman who, despite the fact that I've been living there for a year and a half, every time she meets me, she has no recollection of who I am. And she's also gone, bugger it, I'm not getting any younger. I am going to grow a full beard. Here's an interesting fact, listeners. I don't know if you know, but actually, if you're a woman and you consume a lot of alcohol, it does boost your testosterone levels and does increase your facial hair. Yeah. So I'm thinking by the time I'm 70, it's going to be hello, Santa. So,
look at you, you grizzly Adam.
I may even have a scrotum by then. Who knows? Fingers crossed. But basically, so I've done the move this weekend, and I've basically held on to my basic belief that there's nothing that getting organised or packing can achieve that a bottle of vodka can't. So I have let a few things slip through my fingers. My first mistake was to get the phone disconnected a little too early.
Oh, yeah.
So the removalist truck actually broke down, but of course they couldn't tell me because the piece of string that connected our two tin cans wasn't quite long enough. But that turned out to be a bit of a blessing in disguise because the day I was moving, I discovered I had lost my MasterCard, which is also my ATM card. So I had no money. The real estate agent would not give me the key. So essentially, this weekend, I was left homeless with $20.
And wearing a garbage bag.
Well, that's the thing. I really did get a taste of how those less fortunate than me spend most of their time.
Like your flatmate, who's face down in a pile of dirt in the backyard. What a glamorous couple. What a glamorous showbiz couple out at the Lucy's. I wouldn't have called a removal van. I would have called an exorcist to move you.
And so what's the new pad like, Jude? Is it like, is it a love shack? Would you describe it as a love shack?
I think, Tony Martin, you know that anywhere I live is a bit of a love shack, yeah. Whether it's just a lean-to or a gutter. But can I just... God knows that was pretty much the case on the weekend. At one point, I have actually had an elderly man come up to me and start screaming at me in the street. He was obviously a little mentally disturbed, and he has just started screaming at me, "What's your problem? Do you think I'm some kind of loser?" And I wanted to go, "Au contraire, are you single, and can I hit you for $20?
Well, you might laugh too, but that man was possibly a former king of pop. You just don't know.
Well, you never can tell.
An old woman with a drinking problem. You just don't know, Jude.
All right, Jude. Well, the good news for you is you've moved somewhere new, and that means you've got a whole new set of neighbours to slag on our show every week.
Damn right, and don't think I'll be wasting any time.
All right, but can you stick around for another break with us?
I'll be talking plastic surgery. Try and get rid of me.
There goes the neighbourhood.
Next on Martin Malloy. Mellencamp there, Hurts So Good, here at Martin Malloy, where Judith Lucy's sitting in today. And Jude, is it time for a bit of secret women's business?
Yes, it is. It's no coincidence that you did refer to me as Dr. Feelgood a little earlier, because I am going to be talking today about a kind of plastic surgery that I certainly wasn't aware of.
Yeah.
I read about it in New Woman, and let me just read you the opening paragraph.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Carrie East disliked the way her body looked naked. It wasn't her outline she felt uncomfortable with, nor was it the size of her thighs or the shape of her breasts.
Okay.
What bothered her was something much more personal. I've always had a large labia.
Really?
Right.
For people who might not be familiar, we're not talking about a character from Romeo and Juliet. We're not talking about a small nation on the north coast of Africa. We're talking about the downstairs department. But let's get it out on the table. Let's get it out in the open.
We're talking front bottom.
Okay.
That's what we're talking.
And it's all for the purposes of medical information, listeners.
Oh, absolutely. But listen,
isn't that a good thing?
A
large labia?
So.
I would have thought. How much bigger than that? That's nothing.
Have a look at this. I've got to say, Mick, that I've had many conversations with many women, and never at any stage has anyone gone, "I'd feel so much better about myself if I didn't have such a bloody large labia."
But obviously, I've got to lug it around town. I can't go anywhere without it.
I've got a bloody semi-trailer for my labia.
It's in a wheelbarrow.
But obviously...
I just push it around town.
The team at New Woman have decided this is something that needs to be brought out and discussed.
The cat's out of the bag.
let me continue.
Sure.
I am a little worried that Gracie's got his head in his hands, but I'll push on. So Carrie East has taken herself off to a plastic surgeon to have her labia remodeled.
Oh, okay.
Now, what that means, whether it means she's got a bit of a Venus de Milo downstairs now, I'm not too sure. But
I think it means you're getting a winged keel installed.
I've got no idea. I'm trying to help you, Jude.
Well, it's as much a mystery to me as it is to you, but it gets better because something that apparently goes hand in hand with that procedure, and I'm afraid it's not getting better, is you can get a bit of liposuction done on your pubic mound.
Is that right?
I see.
So you can now actually get a bit of fat sucked out of your front bottom. And look, I'm bloody glad, because it's always been a problem area for me. I'll quite often go, "Now look, I won't have that second bit of chocolate cake. It'll go straight on my pubic mound. Thanks, Mum." So
get a little pot belly. Pot belly on your mound. That's not a good look.
I remember the days when the women's mags were just knit yourself a fun tea cosy. Knit yourself a fun travel quilt. And what's the Queen Mum up to? But obviously they're running out of topics, are they?
I know, it was. It used to be doily talk, but now, look what we've got. But listen to the surgeon. The surgeon actually says, ultimately, looking good translates to sex, no matter whether it's your eyelids or your labia. What happened to going out and buying yourself a new frock? What happened to a new haircut? I mean, now what do you do? You go, I'm going on a hot date. Bloody hell, I'd better get my eyelids and my labia done. But I'm sorry, this is the quote of the article.
Okay, hit us with it, Jude.
He's talking about women being self-conscious about their pubic mound, and he actually says they... I'm sorry, I just... Here we go. They feel it sitting out there like a hood ornament on a Jaguar. Now, for myself, it's a bit more like a rhubarb and a four-wheel drive. But the good news is that if the operation goes awry, that you might actually suffer permanent discomfort when walking, sitting, or having sex. So nothing too inconvenient.
No. That leaves,
standing.
Standing, of course.
Essentially. So maybe the only thing you'll be able to do without pain is stand, but at least you'll know you'll have the trimmest, most attractive genitalia in town.
There you go.
And I'm just wondering where it's going to end. Is it going to end with, Joanne wasn't happy with her body naked. She wasn't upset with the size of her bottom or her stomach. Joanne was uncomfortable with the size and shape of her lower intestine. Because I really did feel that was one area of the female body where we really didn't have to go, well, I'd better pop off and get some surgery.
We'll save something for next week's segment, Jude.
Is there anything left?
And don't forget, you can visit Judith Lucy's internet site. It is, of course, http://.labiacom.org.
Gynecology.
thanks for coming in today, Jude. And I'll tell you what, if you're not offended by small objects being crushed by large objects, you might want to stick around because...
It's time to play Beat the Beasley. How it works. Mick and Tony have commissioned the nation's finest designers, engineers and craftsmen to construct several frighteningly lifelike replicas of federal opposition leader Kim Beazley. Every day on Martin Malloy, one of these enormous structures will be dropped onto something fragile, tiny or defenseless. That is, unless you can correctly answer 5 questions and beat the Beazley. If you're successful, you'll win a Sanyo Olympic Home Entertainment package, including a Sanyo widescreen TV, Sports Review VCR, enough pizza and Coke to get you through the games, and a cleaner to come to your place and deal with the aftermath. Okay, lads, roll out the Beasley.
Happy to Pete Smith and Judith. Just while you're here, you wouldn't have any idea how big our current account deficit is, would you?
Not in the slightest. Look, if it's not to do with the front bottom, I'm just not interested.
Well,
it's about the size of your average labia.
I think so.
That's what I've heard.
It's enormous. Peter Costello's given it a geek. He said it's far too big. It has to go down to the clinic.
We've got to.
It's got to be remodeled. So basically, what we've done is that we fashioned a Beasley, a replica Beasley, the size of the current account deficit.
That's just how bloody big it is.
And I understand we're going to drop it onto something tiny and defenceless, and it doesn't get much more tiny and defenceless than our beloved Prime Minister.
John Howard.
And
he's going to cop it on the noggin.
Will he be wearing the bulletproof vest?
Yeah, you betcha.
All right.
It'll be bulletproof everything.
And Judith Lucy.
We really need the word beloved in there. We've just gone with tiny.
We'll cut it out for the best of if indeed this segment makes it that far. But Judith, I think you've got the idea, and you might like to leave now because I'm afraid it gets pretty ugly. So thanks for coming in today.
Oh, pleasure.
Yeah, we don't want Judith around while things get a little ugly.
Don't want me bringing the tone down.
No, indeed. We've got to get it back down to its normal level. So if you'd like to play Beat the Beasley, listeners, it's quite simple. Just a few trivia questions. Nobody gets hurt. Call us up now. 1-800-657-657. It's time for radio's most popular combination of plunging politicians and fabulous prizes, Beat the Beasley, here at Martin Malloy. Here's what we've done today. We've constructed an enormous replica of the federal opposition leader. And what it is it's the size of our current account deficit. So we've hardly been able to get it into the studio. The crane's under strain today. We're going to drop it onto the Prime Minister simply because he was passing by and he's got a bulletproof vest on. So he seemed like an ideal target. And helping us out today, who have we got, Mickey?
It's a young man named Darren. G'day, Darren.
Good evening, gentlemen.
How are you, mate?
Good, thank you.
Where are you calling from?
Ararat.
Ararat.
Right, so you be listening to us on the big Power FM.
Power
FM in Ballarat.
More power to you.
And hello to the team at Power Rangers. Send those complaints straight down to us, if you could. And Darren, what's going on up Ararat way?
Pretty cold, fellas, pretty cold.
Pretty cold, a bit nippy in the mornings?
Oh, yeah.
I think the Ballarat region would be one of the coldest in Australia, wouldn't it?
Oh, snows, you name it.
That's where we went during the late show, if you remember, Tom. We were filming, I think, Shitskid, which when the bus blew up prematurely after a day's construction. That was pretty cold, as I remember.
And what do you do for a job up that way, Darren?
I work for a mining company.
Oh, what are you you're not mining for sphagnum, are you, by any chance?
No, no.
You're not working your 12 hours a day in the sphagnum mines?
No, no.
Okay, well, today you're mining for answers to very simple radio trivia questions.
Well, I hope they are.
We've tried to make them as simple as possible
today.
Here
comes the Beasley.
And it's just hanging there. Here comes the question.
It's a big bugger.
Yes, indeed. And Darren, who is our Prime Minister? Darren?
John Howard.
Yes!
The Queensland Firearm Owners Association refer to John Howard as Sawn Off Little What?
Johnny.
Oh, Sawn Off Little Dickhead, I'm afraid. Where did the tainted peanuts come from?
In Queensland.
Yes, we'll accept that. It was, of course, Kingaroy.
Name something else from Kingaroy that can give you the shits.
Pass.
Oh, we would have accepted the Bjelke Peterson family.
I knew that.
Name a TV show that's been turned into a movie.
Brady Bunch.
Yes!
Name a movie that's been turned into a TV show.
Mission Impossible. Wrong way around.
Wrong way around, buddy.
We would have accepted MASH. Name a movie that's been turned into a ride.
Lethal Weapon.
Yes!
Name that chip you put in your telly to screen out violence. Quickly.
Don't know.
Oh, it's the V-chip.
The V-chip.
Gareth, I love you.
Oh,
enough. I got enough.
Did he get enough? It was four. No, I don't think we can accept it.
No, I got five. You got to haggle.
You got to haggle, do you? Oh, but I'm afraid the judges are giving us the thumbs down, Darren. But listen to this. You've helped crush, you know, the Prime Minister. You've got to be satisfied with your work there.
His jacket wasn't Beasley-proof, by the way.
I'm afraid not. And you've got, well, it's not really a consolation. It's the Martin Malloy Brown album and
T-shirt.
I've
already got it. The telly would have been better.
We're sorry to disappoint you, Darren. But feel free to try and call up again tomorrow and attempt once again to beat the Beasley Martin Malloy. Be your name here at Martin Malloy, the home of Beat the Beasley, where there's been a fair bit of discussion during this.
I want nothing to do with it. I want nothing to do with it. I'm on the record. I did everything right.
Well, let's see what happened. Darren answered four questions.
Four questions correctly.
The Beasley started to fall, and there's some suggestion that he got the fifth one V-chip, but then again, I might have said V-chip and he might have heard me, or did he come up with it independently? Let's play back the black box recording and see what happened.
Yes! Name that chip you put in your telly to screen out violence. Quickly.
Don't know.
Oh, it's the V-chip. Now, what do we make of that?
Well, I reckon he was coming up with it all on his own.
You think so?
Yeah, I reckon he got no help from you.
So,
by the way, I think you're a pretty piss poor quizmaster.
What are you doing? I'll be replaced by Tony Barber any day now. Just you wait. So you're going to say we're going to give him the prize?
Oh, what the hell?
Oh,
Darren, if you listen, give us a bell, buddy.
He's probably never going to listen to the show again. He's hung up in disgust.
He's probably chucked all his furniture out the window.
He's out the back with a sledgehammer just going his copy of the Martin Malloy Brown album.
Here's what I think he does.
But Darren and Ararat, if you're still listening, call us back and you've got yourself the giant-sized telly, the VCR, the Coke, the pizza, the cleaner, the Olympic prize pack, courtesy of our enormously good and extremely generous friends at Sanyo. Call us up and we'll sort you out. That's how it works.
And Tone, sorry, just before you do, was that you during that break blubbering again?
I don't want to be a quiz master anymore, but I like it now. It's too hard.
It's going to end up like that quiz show movie. It just is.
But, hey, we may not be any good at calling the questions on Beat the Beasley, but when you're talking sports, when you're talking top flight sports coverage, don't go past the team at Martin Malloy.
Wimbledon 96 has begun, and for the most up-to-date coverage, tune in to Martin Malloy. Who will win this most prestigious of tournaments? Will it be Sampras? Edberg? Could it be Becker? Will it be Salman Rushdie? Well, probably not, because he can't play tennis. But if he did, we'd be there to bring you the action as it unfolds. We'll be courtside for all the big games, bringing you ball-by-ball live coverage. Even when the games are finished and everyone's gone home, we'll still be there while nothing's happening, sitting in the dark, just making stuff up about tennis.
Mick, do you reckon it'd make the competition more even if all the top players were made to wear clown shoes?
Don't know, Tone. Yeah. Don't know. What if all the ball boys rode round on Shetland ponies, whacking the ball with polo mallets?
Could work. Could work.
We'll have all the latest from the Women's Championship. Will it be the long-awaited showdown between Graf and Sillers, or will it be Marla Maples and a pregnant Demi Moore? Not bloody likely, but just say it was, then we'd be there first with the most detailed analysis. We'll have expert opinion from John Newcomb.
G'day.
Fred Solly.
Welcome back.
Jerry Lewis.
Waiting.
And a chicken named Dave. So join the team at Martin Molloy for the best in tennis coverage at Wimbledon 96. It's almost as good as being there.
Yeah. Mick, do you reckon Andre Agassi gets those baggy pants from a big men's store?
Don't know, Tone, don't know. Do you reckon when he's making love to Brooke Shields, he puts on a loincloth like Christopher Atkins in the Blue Lagoon?
He might do, he might do.
The only thing that looks good on him is you here at Martin Molloy. We're about to revisit the Russian election campaign before we sign off tonight. But before we do that, this is, of course, your controversy-mired Martin Molloy today. We had a bit of a brouhaha during Beat the Beasley, but I think have we got Darren from Ararat back on the line? You there, Darren?
Yes, fellas, I am.
Yeah, you've got the prize.
You beauty.
Okay.
You talked us into it, buddy. We couldn't have you bad-mouthing us all around the Ararat region.
You've got to understand, we've still got the P plates on as far as quiz mastering is concerned. We can crap on for hours about Pamela Anderson, but calling out a few questions, we've still got no idea what we're doing. Now, you've got the big widescreen telly. Darren, what will you be watching on the... what do you get up Ararat way on the telly?
Pretty well the same as the city.
Yeah. Okay, so tonight, let's see, you've got, Tornado. You're going to be watching Tornado? It's sort of a bargain basement version of Twister, I'm imagining. You've got Murder One with that spooky-looking bald bloke.
Yes, I'll be going for him, I dare say.
Yeah, and what about The X-Files? Do you get into that?
Nah.
Not really The X-Files?
Not a big fan.
So when Gillian Anderson popped down to the shopping centre at Ararat last week, you weren't there crushing it?
Chances aren't. She wasn't there at all.
And what about the Fantastic World of Michael Crawford? Will you be watching that tonight?
No, not at all.
Not tickling your fancy, Darren?
No.
All right, mate. You'll be down the video shop with a couple of X-rated tapes and locking yourself in front of your new widescreen with the lot.
And do you get into the pay telly, Darren? Are you into that?
No, they've only just really put it out up here, so might look into it in future.
And are all the Ararat locals out and about protesting the cables?
No, it hasn't been anything said about that at this stage.
Okay. Well, you keep us up to date on what's going up, going down up there in Ararat.
No worries at all.
You're officially our Ararat connection now, you realise.
Beautiful.
So thanks for taking part, and I think really it is time for us to go today here at Martin Molloy, and we'd like to thank our guest Judith Lucy. We'd like to thank Darren, of course, and all our gladiators. Tomorrow we'll be joined by Magda Szubanski.
Excellent.
And I'm sure she'll be casting a bit of light on the Babe AFI snubbing affair. And before we go, yes, as promised, once again we're talking Russian election campaign. We need to know what's going on. This report from the BBC.
On the eve of round two of the Russian presidential elections, Boris Yeltsin looked decidedly shaky as he addressed the nation on live television.
You're on.
Greetings, people of Russia. Man, am I shit-faced? Something about status quo.
God,
it's happening again. Quick, get in there. Turn it on.
Meanwhile, communist leader Gennady Zyuganov appeared at a local gymnasium.
Oh,
Yeltsin's right-hand man, Alexander Lebed, appeared on television for nearly 25 minutes before somebody realized it was in fact a life-size color photograph. Said one observer, I thought he looked a bit more animated than usual.
It's super chair, but...
Back at Studio 3, Yeltsin continued his address.
I feel like chicken tonight. Like chicken tonight.
Quick, bring it up to 11! Back on the communist campaign trail, Gennady Zyuganov demonstrates his commitment to reform by taking time out for some whitewater rafting. On live television, ultra-nationalist Vladimir Zhirinovsky made this brief statement. Mr. Yeltsin's address, meanwhile, entered its historic second minute.
Does it sound like I'm talking backwards? In fact, all Russian does to me. Where am I? Who are you people? G-O-G-G-O.
In an attempt to highlight what he sees as the Yeltsin government's failure to successfully manage the economy, communist leader Zhuganov wrestles a large python and attempts to swim to Greenland. And finally, Boris Yeltsin makes one final all-out attempt to convince Russians of his superiority.
I, and only I, have what it takes to lead this great nation into the next century. Allow me to demonstrate.